Dwayne, good evening, everybody. It has been a long weekend, full of hard work, but I'm thankful to be here tonight. Hi, all those that are live streaming in. And sometimes life is just like a roller coaster, you know? There's just so much going on, and you seem like you're all over the place, but as long as you stay on track and you hold on, the good Lord gets you through it. And, you know, my wife and I, we took upon some small tasks to remodel the house. I'm just going to throw this in real quick. And you know, there are some things in life that you're just kind of unsure of when you start to get involved with these things. And one of the greatest resources that we have nowadays to be able to learn and to grow is YouTube, right? So I just want everybody to know that YouTube isn't the knowledge of all things, because it makes it look so easy. And then you get involved with it and it's the whole side, other side of the spectrum. And so I say that because we took on the task to pull out our carpet and lay one of those vinyl laminate floors. And boy, we've been working really hard the last couple days, and I'm thankful because of the patience that the Lord gives me to do things like that. And one of the neat things about it is, and I actually said this, Hugh and Louise, to Alicia last night, because our backs were killing us. Our knees were killing us. It was 8:30 at night, and Friday night we worked on this floor till 1 o'clock in the morning, and got up early Saturday morning and worked until 9:30 last night. It was about 8 o'clock last night. And we're getting to the last pieces, and like those last three pieces of the floor to put in. It's so funny because you just can't get them right. And I'm a perfectionist. I had to do it over. And it was just like, we can see the finish line. And I just started laughing because you get to that point of you're so exhausted that it almost becomes comical. So I was starting to laugh on the inside, and it came out. And I turned to Alicia and I said, you know, dear, as frustrating as this has been, we had so much more fun on accident than on purpose with this one. It is so true. But, you know, my wife was ecstatic. Alicia was ecstatic because, you know, she gets out her camera. And I'm just throwing this in. This has nothing to do with the sermon. She gets out her camera, and I'm getting ready to drop in the very last piece, and she's sitting there holding it, and it won't drop in because it's too long. So I had to trim a little off, and she sets up again. She's ready to take that picture, and I drop it in, and she starts crying. So sorry, Alicia, to embarrass you, but I'm like, why are you crying? And it's just because she was elated with joy that we were finished with it, and it turned out really nice. But it was just something that, you know, you appreciate your hard work and the efforts that you put into things. And I believe that when you do that, it was a good spiritual lesson too. And I believe that when you incorporate that into your spiritual life, that the Lord blesses you and helps you be able to learn, to grow, to see those things and to understand it. Because now in doing so, you know, I had one of my neighbors stop by. He wanted to see how it was working out. And I just had this laundry list of things to share with him that YouTube never shares with you about all the little, they make it look so easy. And it's hard work. It's really, really some hard work. There's harder work out there, but for somebody of my caliber and understanding of carpentry and doing things of such, it was a pretty big task to take on. And so I'm thankful for how it turned out. I'm thankful that I'm able to be here tonight. And regardless, I wanted to talk about this sermon here. This has been a sermon I wanted to preach for a long time. And the reason why I wanted to preach this for a long time is because I had to wait. I had to have patience. And it all started with actually Jen and Joel. And you guys have the lemon tree, and it produces a really nice amount of fruit. And you guys would bring, they probably will, again, bring bags of lemon, because it's just overwhelming how many lemons that tree is putting out. And you know, they brought bags of lemons to church, and I decided to take a couple bags. I bought a juicer, and I made my own lemonade. And boy, it was so good. It was like, oh, I love this stuff. So you know, in my frame of mind, what did I go do? I went to Costco right up the street here and bought a lemon tree. And that was 6 years ago, and I still have no lemons to this day. And I thought it was gonna be this, you know, really quick process, right? And you know, it's summertime. This is something that we enjoy when it's really hot out. You get done mowing the grass or trimming the trees, bushes, whatever you're doing in the backyard, you know, tending to your own little personal vineyard. You know, these are some of the enjoyments that you get out of it for having a tree like that. But this tree that I bought, I'm going to go ahead to the next slide. This is 6 years later after I bought this tree from Costco. You're probably scratching your head saying, what in the world's going on here? But my son, he can attest to this. This tree has been in the corner of my yard for 6 years, and I measured it today. It's 33 inches tall, and it has 5 lemons on it. And, you know, this is a tree that I was going to give up on a lot of times. But I've thought about it, and the tree wasn't completely dead at times. I just figured maybe it has a root ball. I watered it. I nurtured it. I turned the soil. I fertilized it. I did all these things, as the scriptures teach us. And we're going to get to that. But I had hope that this tree would put out fruit eventually. And, you know, this tree, all the leaves were yellow at one time, and it just would not grow. It was probably half the size of that till this year it decided to start to grow. So I was so excited, and I went out there. I counted 6 or 7 lemons on this tree. And so hopefully it'll produce fruit. And I think about this tree and, you know, all the years and time that I put into it, and it's finally getting to where I know that the tree is established and that it's going to be able to continue to grow as long as I tend to it. And this tree has always reminded me of Luke chapter 13, and we're going to read that. It's the parable the fig tree, and we're going to read about that. And I want to kind of go into some of the details with that and how it relates to our spiritual walk. But you know, overall, that was the goal, was to be able to get all this fruit and to be able to enjoy it. And I think that, you know, the patience is one of these things that I've learned to understand, that it doesn't come quickly. Patience doesn't come quickly, but throughout time and enduring and tending to what is important, it produces fruit. And, you know, we need to make sure that the soil and all that is well-dressed and it's capable of growing. And so, you know, there's all these efforts that we put into place. And so I thought about this every time I look at the tree. I think about the parable of the fig tree, because, you know, the fig tree is spiritual and temporal in the gospel. It has a lot of meaning behind it and what it did. So let's go there to Luke chapter 13. We're going to read verses 6-9. But prior to that, in verse 5 of this, it states that, you know, this is kind of a warning to people. And I look at that, and at the same time, you know, there's a lot of importance involved in these verses here. Even though it's a warning, there's certain things that are addressed that really help us in our spiritual life. So in verses 6-9, it says, "He spake also this parable," this is Christ, "a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it in the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down." And so this is referring to the Jews and the house of Israel, and how the house of Israel was close to him, and how he tended to them, how he sent Christ, and how he nurtured them. And this is a warning of, you know, if this isn't going to bear fruit, then we're going to take it down. And, you know, this is something that Christ came and he graciously gave himself in his mercy to all them that were willing to listen. And the dresser in the vineyard is the person that tends to the church. The vineyard is, in verse 6, it's referring to the church of God. And so how do we see and how do we know that if we're a part of this vineyard? Well, you know, if we are baptized, if we come unto God, if we let him nurture us, if we let him tend to us, our needs, if we let his light shine on us and through on us and show it to others, that's when we know that we're in the church of Christ. That's when we know that we're being fruitful for God. And the vineyard, I kind of did a little bit of research on this, and the vineyard is, that's an important piece of ground. You know, it's just not like going out in the forest, or it's something that you'd spend time in. It's something that you're putting close to you to be able to tend to be able to monitor, to see what's going on, what needs to be done. And it, this is something close to God, just as the children of Israel and the Jews. And so as the church grew, as the church continues to grow, you know, we are a part of that. So we're a part of the vineyard. And so in Christ's vineyard, I wanted to read that in 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And so, you know, this vineyard that we're a part of, you know, it's something that we need to tend to as well. And we need to make sure that we're providing the appropriate nutrients, we need to be fed the appropriate nutrients. And we need to understand that God is overseeing it. God is overseeing us. He wants and expects us to be able to provide fruit for him. And this is an expectation. He sent his son Christ to come in this world, and his son came into this world, and he was seeking fruit. He was seeking fruit from his disciples, from his apostles. He was making sure that he provided for them the necessary tools to do so at the same time. And one of the things that we get when we provide fruit, that when we produce for the Lord, is we get joy out of it. You know, again, just like a glass of lemonade, that's something that I think we all truly enjoy. It's something that brings us comfort. It's something that quenches our thirst. It helps us be able to relax, to be able to have something that we can appreciate. And such is the word of God and his son Jesus. That those are all spiritual things that when we're bearing fruit, we can reap the rewards from that and to be able to enjoy those things. And especially when we let the Lord nurture us. And as this tree is growing, even though it's 33 inches, I have hope that this tree is going to be double in size in a couple of years. My attention is on it, and the Lord's attention is on us, his church. So it's important that we're always seeking to move forward, to know of those things that God has intended for us in our lives, and be willing to share, to teach, and to show others that path in which we are walking, so they can see and have that hope to be able to know that there is something in the end that they can look forward to. And so, where are you planted? And that's a question, you know, where are you planted in this world in which we live today? You know, this is a figurative kind of look on things, but there's all kinds of situations going on within our world, whether it's political, geopolitical, learning institutions, big things happen in there, our places of business, even social gatherings, activist groups, in the belief systems. There's a lot of sway in how things should be done and why they should be done. But the one thing I always appreciate about the gospel is that it brings the truth. It brings light unto every matter. And, you know, where are you planted? So I have here Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor the standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I think this is important for us in our walk, in our spiritual walk, praying and seeking that counsel of God to help us be able to have that clarity of thought with all this chaos that's going on around us, wars, trials, tribulations, all these unrests that are happening. And it says here, and he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit, his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And so I was thinking about this and wanted to relate it to the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13. And here, you know, the seed, we know that the seed can be planted by the wayside. It could be planted by stony places. It could be among the thorns. And none of those produce the fruit that God is desiring. None of those are producing the fruit when the seed is like as if the seed is planted on good ground. And that's where we need to seek to be planted, to establish our roots and to always have them there. And it says in verse 23, but he that receiveth the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. And this is something that I know and understand that it takes a lifetime to be able to get a full understanding, if you can get there, of everything that the gospel can provide for you in your life to help you become perfect as Christ desires. You know, we get... I call them destruction manuals, but they're instruction manuals when we buy things. And one of the things that, you know, you lay it out and you look at it and you have an idea but of how things should go. But really, till you get your hands on and you actually go through the process, you know, it's a whole world of difference. Just like these floors, this floor that my wife and I did, there's all kinds of nuances that go with it. You know, it doesn't tell you how to hold your body, how hard to hit the hammer, how to place the panels exactly to make it go smoothly, what to do when something's amiss and you have to take a little bit of it back apart. You know, such is our lives. You know, are we willing to take the time and have the patience to counsel, to seek the counsel from God, to be able to help develop our lives, to mold it, to shape it, to perfect it to where God sees and is pleased with the fruit that we're bearing. You know, or is the finished product kind of like something that I remember like in elementary school building things for my mom. And, you know, I look back at some of those things and basically it was a blob of clay that's supposed to look like a boat or something. And it just didn't work out. But over time, in understanding things, you get better and better and better. And it was kind of funny because, you know, you're trying to make the perfect cut every time and it never happens. You know, the wall's not straight. The floor's not flat. There's a little chip of something. And that's how our lives are. You know, our lives are never going to be perfect. And we have an adversary that's trying to throw those roadblocks in our lives all the time. And what is it that we have to do? Just like I said in the beginning, when life's like a roller coaster, you just hang on and enjoy the ride with those that you're around. Try to make the best of it. Yeah, there could be a lot of screaming and yelling as you're going along up and down and through loops. But I have yet to see somebody, you know, at an amusement park jump off a roller coaster while it's in motion halfway through. You just don't do it if you have common sense. It may have been done, but... You know, we'll make sure that we don't promote that here. But, you know, you hang on just like in the gospel. where it tells us to hang on to the rod of iron. You know, life's going to be difficult. There's going to be that dark shadow over us at times. We're not going to be able to see clearly. But if we have the gospel with us in our lives, you know, we can always know that God's going to take us where we need to be and where we need to go, into his vineyard. Okay, so there's going to be roadblocks, as I had mentioned. You know, I have a few of these listed up here, and I really wanted to make sure that, you know, these are some, I wanted to get some ideas that were a little bit different than the typical things I would talk about, and I really gave this some thought of, you know, what are some of the roadblocks in our lives. And one of the things that I know that I talk about a lot is, you know, all those things that the world has to offer. But I really, the validation of who you are is something, as I was studying, excuses, procrastination. And I have a verse here that to relate this to, but these are some of the things that came to mind when I was thinking this, because, you know, that focus on the validation of who we are, there's all kinds of things that, opportunities that the world provides. Are we looking at those opportunities as something that is going to make us and be somebody that we're really not? I know that a lot of people in places of business, they're looking to promote, they're looking to better themselves, to get the credentials. And it's good if we're doing it for the glory of God. That's what God calls us to do, to be able to acquire talents and to master skills and to be able to share them, though, and let people know that God gave me the ability to be able to do this, to be able to work hard and through this and to glorify him. And those things are necessary for us in our eternal life. But so many times in life, you know, and I'm guilty of it 100%, is procrastination. And going through life, there's some things that you really want to do that take priority. And there's some things that you really need to do that you always put on the back burner. You know, I have this leaking pipe out back. And my excuse is, it's great to water the trees and the bushes because I don't even have to go out there. I just move the hose every once in a while and the work's done. But it's a leaking pipe. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse, or eventually it'll probably fail. But I need to tend to that. That's one of my procrastinations. That's one of my excuses of not doing it. But at the same time, you know, there's always those things in our lives that we have opportunity to do for God to be able to provide fruit. But again, you know, we might have something that we desire that we want to put before that. So we have to look at those things and make sure that we're headed in the direction that God has intended for us. And that's where prayer and communication with God are so important. And, you know, in John 2:16, Christ himself says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." And our brother Adam was talking about in his last sermon about how, you know, we can't take those things that we acquire in this life to heaven. And it's so true. It's so true. You can't pack those things up, throw them in a U-Haul, and take them to heaven. You have the things that you take to heaven within your soul, within your heart, that God sees and knows of. He knows the fruit that we're producing. So, you know, Satan at every opportunity is trying to keep us and persuade us from doing those things. And there's a good example of that in Matthew 21. You know, he was hungry. Christ was, when he was going back to Jerusalem. And in verse 19, it says, "And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away, and when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if you have faith, and doubt not, you shall not only do that this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." And I'm here tonight to let you know, yes, I'm a little bit crazy, Because I did, and I do, I visit with the Lord all the time, especially like when I'm riding my bike by myself, but in the backyard, you know, and I've talked to the Lord about that little lemon tree. I was like, Lord, you know, can we do something with this lemon tree? And wholeheartedly, I believe that, you know, the Lord's hand is at play. He hears the cries and the prayers of his children. And, you know, whether the Lord brought that tree to life, I have no idea. Well, I kind of do, and I believe it. And I have no idea how much fruit that tree is going to produce, but I want to help it be able to produce as much fruit as possible. I want that tree to be able to produce fruit so I could be like Jen and Joel and bring bags of lemons here for everybody to enjoy. And it's nice to be able to enjoy those things that if you have a talent, you could share with others that can benefit from it. So be it. You know, it's important for us as Christians to do that. It's one of the expectations that God has. So we cannot disappoint. We can't disappoint. This is a picture. This isn't any of my trees. But this is a picture of a lemon tree that died that I threw in here. And, you know, it's something that I feel, and I've known that when you don't tend to certain things in your life, that the matter gets worse and worse and worse. And just like in our own personal gardens and in the foliage that we oversee in our vineyards, at our houses, if we don't tend to it, things are going to happen. You know, if it's not pruned, it could choke itself out. If we let other plants get in and utilize the tree as a source for itself to grow, weeds and such of that nature, they can choke the tree out. If we don't water it, give it the nutrients that it needs, it'll die. But all these things can happen if we're not attentive to that. And, you know, God has that, has embedded those morals and those standards within us. The doctrine is given to us to be able to learn how to do these things. It's one of those books that he gives, the scriptures that he gives that help us be able to understand and to learn and to grow and to use in our lives as a tool. And so, you know, these things that we do, it's something important because it brings glory to God and it honors him. And in return, he blesses us with his grace, and he gives us his protection, his counsel, his love, his temperance, and his patience. And just like the parable, Christ was telling this parable that there was the opportunity, the patience to be able to have time to bring this tree to a place where it can bear fruit. And that's important for us to remember always, that sometimes it takes more time for some than others to be able to bear that fruit. But, you know, being a child of God, we have to have patience in those things. And it's important that we do so we can show the love that God showed and shows for us towards others, to have compassion, to have patience, be willing to teach, being able to show by example, and all these things that we can do to prevent other people's fruit from being barren, trees from being barren. It's important that we do that. And it says in Moroni 7:47, oh, that's a plain reference. Behold, I say unto you that ye shall have hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of his resurrection to be raised unto life eternal, and this because of your faith in him according to the promise. And that's the promise that God gives us, that, you know, there's this life eternal, that if we endure, that we make it through this life, fruit is going to be provided. We're going to be able to glorify and honor God through our works. We're not going to disappoint him. We're not going to disappoint him. So what can we do? What can we do? Serve him and only him to the end. You know, that's important. Be obedient and grow. Show him praise and honor. Repent of your sins and bear fruit. Make lemonade. One of the things I wanted to talk about with this, you know, there's priorities that we have in life. Our temporal and our spiritual. You know, we have to get those in order. We have to make sure that we're putting God first, that we are putting him above everything else, and we're inviting him in. We're wanting him to share what we're going through, what we're doing, and asking him how we should do things. And that's important because that's showing that obedience to God. That's helping us grow in the gospel. And you know, the key to that is just opening our hearts. There's situations that happen all around us in our personal lives and in our social lives that put up those walls and those barriers. They cause us to be coarse, to be rough. And, you know, I believe, and God has proven, that these things, he can tear down the walls. He can smoothen out our rough edges. He could fill in those chips on our shoulders. He gives us that if we're open to him and willing to accept that, willing to understand that all the things that God has gone through or that Christ has gone through was an example for us to be able to grow and to bear fruit. And, you know, when we see those things happening, when we see those changes happening, you know, we need to be quick and apt to give God the glory for doing that. And one of the things in doing that is, you know, that fruit, we get to enjoy the fruit. So we need to make that lemonade and enjoy it and share it with others and have that opportunity to be that light for God. I have a few references here to serve and only serve him. And that's in 3 Nephi 5, verse 115, and Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, and it's again in Luke 16, verse 13, with a little variation to it. You know, serve him and only him. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. And this is something that I can relate to here of recently, because I had a promotional opportunity at work. I put in for it. I was kind of half-heartedly putting in for it. I was kind of interested, but then again, you know, I asked the Lord, hey, if this is really something that you want me to do to be able to continue in this process of my career with the city, you know, I leave it in your hands. I'm good either way. And it didn't turn out the way that God wanted it to. I didn't get the promotion, but it was a good experience to be able to talk amongst my peers and my supervisors of some of the things that are going on. And one of the things they tell me is that you're so good at what you do for your section that, you know, it's going to take a lot to be able to fill that position. And that might have some impact on your move forward. And I kind of gave that some thought. And you know, you could take that two different ways. I could take it two different ways. And I looked at the opportunity that it provided rather than, well, that's not fair, you know, because I get it. I get it and I understand it. And we have the city manager, Jeff Barton. They just had a conference a couple of weeks ago. And our deputy director came back. And, you know, one of the things that he was impressed with was at this conference when the city manager spoke at it was that learn and master that which you do so you can pass it on to somebody else to fill your shoes. Don't go and just search for the promotions because you want the title, because you want the pay. Master what you do and you'll love it. And that's one of the things I've learned in my spiritual life that I'm always seeking, and I hope you are always seeking to better yourself spiritually. That relationship that you have with God to make you a better person, to help you be able to understand that in doing so, there's going to be hard work. There's going to be sacrifices. There's going to be frustrations. There's going to be trials, but you know, in struggles, but and letting God in, you know, what makes us rough, what puts chips on our shoulders, what causes us to put up the walls and the barriers, God's there to help us put that in the past and to see forward and see how we could do good in the world, in the environment, in our vineyard, in His vineyard that we live in. And so, you know, it's important that we do that. It says in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 through 16, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And I think about that, and I'm thankful, and I was telling Alicia last night that it's kind of funny because we've owned this house for 16 years, and I've been a plumber, I've been an electrician, I've been a carpenter, I've been a painter, whatever you need, an AC repair guy. I said, you know, it's just amazing how the Lord blesses us because, you know, there's trial and error in all these things, as one of the circuit breakers blew last night as I was doing an outlet. But there's trial and error in all these things, but the Lord shows you where to go and how to do it. You just have to rely on Him. And I'm not telling you to go out there and do your own plumbing, but a lot of these situations, they just unfold in life. Things happen. Your son has a weed eater leaning against the wall, and it falls and it breaks the front water main. And on a weekend, Saturday night at 4 o'clock, you got to figure it out. And unexpected things happen in life. But what do you do when life deals you lemons? You make lemonade. And so I took a picture of Eric. I should have put it in here. Of holding the broken pipe next to our fixed one that took us 3.5 hours to do. But it worked. We learned how to solder, how to do all of it, how to plumb. And I took the picture. He didn't want to hold the broken pipe next to the fixed front water main where the spigot is. And why do you want me to stand there? I said, because when you're 40 years old and you're calling me to come over and to fix your plumbing, I'm going to send that picture back to you, letting you know you were sitting there right next to me. I didn't know what in the world I was doing. We figured it out, so you can do it. And so it was a good opportunity to be able to learn that life lesson. But again, as you go through life, if you're willing to let the Lord lead you, He'll show you. He'll bless you with all kinds of talents. I wholeheartedly believe that. If you have someone or something that you truly care about, and you pray to God, He will take care of it. He will give you the answer. He will bring life to whatever situation that you pray to Him for. Just like it said in the scripture that I read, that, you know, if you want to move mountains, you know, those very difficult things in your life, pray to God. But, you know, we have to prioritize. Again, I go back to that. Prioritize your temporal and your spiritual lives. You know, make sure you put God before everything else. In a lot of these situations where you're dealing with life, one of the things I've learned, and I'll share with you, is that, you know, when the veins are popping out of your forehead right here, if you don't have them, you probably will get them eventually. And you just take some deep breaths. And you close your eyes and you ask the Lord for help in that situation. He'll bring calmness to you. He'll help you be able to make the right decisions, say the right words, understand what it is that He wants you to accomplish. Oh, shoot. That wasn't the end. Oh, boy. It's because I'm using the mouse. That's why. I apologize. So I had one more verse to read here. That's what I was trying to do right there. We need to make sure, yeah, that we're not the fig tree that Christ sees no fruit coming from, and that it just withers away like that tree there. All of us have the opportunities. If life gives you lemons, make the lemonade. And, you know, this parable that I shared with you, it was intended as words of caution. You know, make sure that you're looking to God for those things that you stand in need of, and make sure that you're living this life for God, for He's given so much to us. You know, if we're willing to see it, you know, He's going to bless us. And just like with lemonade, you know, there's all kinds of different lemonades out there, but there's no lemonade like the true, freshly squeezed, real sugar. You put the two together with water and ice. Very simple, very basic, and it beats all of them out there. No artificial sweeteners or anything like that. That real lemonade that is given to us that we can enjoy. You know, it's refreshing, it's comforting. You can enjoy it with others. It quenches your thirst. Man, it really hits the spot. And, you know, it's a lot of times I was wondering, if I'm preaching about all these lemons and stuff, it's kind of like when people talk about lemons, your mouth starts getting that weird lemon thing going. I was wondering if people's mouths would start doing that, if the lemonade would make them desire it. But I hope that you desire to seek God and to continue to bear that fruit. I know all of us are here for a reason, and it's to be able to be close to God. And I think that if we take what we have here, how we're close with each other in this room, in this house of worship that God has given us, and take that, this church, His church, with us every day inside of our hearts, you know, there's no stopping us from bearing fruit. So I wanted to finish with Matthew 13:23, but he that received the seed into the good ground, we were talking about the good ground, is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. God gives us a given amount of talents each. I am so thankful for the talents that God has given me. It's kind of funny because it seems like you get more talents as you get older, but as you get older, you can do less. It's kind of interesting, but you can share, you can verbalize, you can show, you can give advice. Do that wholeheartedly and charitably, because that's what God desires of us. If you can't do it physically, boy, you sure can pray for somebody, and you sure can lift somebody up by sharing the blessings and giving Him the honor and glory for that which He has done in your life. So that's my message for tonight. I waited 6 years to share this, and you know, with all that patience, I will bring bags of fruit. There's only going to be 5 lemons this year, but if they make it. But when this thing is producing fruit, I will share that with you. So God bless you, and take care. Thank you for your time.